Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, you're the second person. Thank you, everybody, for your connection. Did you hear me when I said good morning?
No.
Okay, just a minute. Let me wire up. Good morning. Oh, okay. Funny how the little things work. Technology. I'm just kind of taking everybody in, transitioning back. It's interesting. You think just because you land somewhere, you're here. It's not necessarily so. So, thank you all for being here on this blessed day. Whenever we're able to be upright, it's a blessing. So I would like to begin my talk with offering homage. Because this talk is not just about me. It's about you. It's about all beings who are here and not here. I want to offer homage to the Dakota Nations, who are the hosts and life givers of this land called Minnesota. I'd like to offer homage to Buddhas and ancestors for the teaching of liberation, homage to our teachers and practitioners of the way, homage to our family and friends. I'm trying to lighten up here, but in reading the meditation of loving kindness, meditation. I don't know how it was for you, but I was really struck with the impermanence of life and the suffering all around us. And I noticed that there were two families that offered joy. And I'm sure there's 10,000 more who experience joy, even though it may be fleeting. But somehow the focus seemed on suffering and death for me. So I noticed that energetically the minefield, this field, even though quiet, was compressed. So I just want to bring that forward in the spirit of recognizing the suffering, simultaneously recognizing the joy, and that we're all here together in this time and space is really quite beautiful to have this opportunity. So somehow I want to uphold the joy. Some of you know, some of you are new, are there any new people here? Awesome, welcome. I'm just returning from Japan on July 4th. Though it seems far away, it's not far away at all for me. And I continue to metabolize the practice at Dashoji Zen Monastery Temple in Okayama Prefecture. I'm deeply grateful for everyone's support, through words of encouragement, good wishes, cards, gifts, M&Ms. It's no small matter. And the financial support that I received. The generosity is, it really called me in what at times were very dynamic and challenging experiences in the monastery to step forward. And not just step forward in a way of gutting it out, but to really step forward within my condition as a human being, a Zen priest, human being first, Zen priest second, practicing in an international sangha. Because of your support, I felt compelled to let go of my egocentricity and to step forward with dignity and grace. I want to recognize too, because I have permission, I think I have permission, yeah, that there are two people here today besides myself, so there's three of us, who've been to Tosshoji Zen Monastery in Japan. My teacher, who ordained me so that I could practice there as a Zen priest, Edo Shoen-san, that was huge. And I'll talk about that later. And my Dharma brother, Daishin, who he and I were received Jukai in 2008. And again, our paths crossed, and I didn't even know until I got home. You just never know the connections that we have with each other. It's extraordinary. Our individual liberation is directly connected to our collective liberation. We are not liberated alone, nor do we do the practice alone. Simultaneously, we feel very alone. This teaching continues to unfold for me, and acknowledging my teacher Edo-san and my Dharma brother Daishin, I also want to bring forward Docho Roshi, who is the Roshi at Tosshoji Zen Temple in Japan. A very, very compassionate teacher. As you can imagine, being an abbot of an international sangha, it's no small matter. Having Japanese and foreigners intersecting in the Buddha Dharma together, and then breaking it down even more, having Germany, France, Spain, Italy, Argentina, Brazil represented among some, and then breaking it down more, having people of different values, different customs, different cultures coming together. The coalescing of humanity can express itself in 10,000 ways and more. I want to recognize, too, my teacher, Byakuran Roshi, who transmitted me in the Katagiri Roshi lineage in 2018. Having a teacher along the way in the path is important to developing one's spiritual authority. It's very, very significant to stand, and I invite you to investigate, what does that mean to you in your practice, your spiritual authority? And when do you give that away? And what does that look like? I want to read from the Shobo Genzo Zen Monkey. This book, when I left, was like, oh yeah, it's a cool book. It's on my shelf. It's a little dusty. It's from Shohaku Okamura Roshi, who is brilliant. I never picked it up. I'm not going to lie to you. I never picked it up. And when I got to the temple, this book was in my room. I'm like, wow, that's cool. Now I have two. And I learned about my Americanization too. I like a lot of stuff. I don't know how you are, but I'm into my stuff. So this book was in my room. And we were instructed to bring this book to Chosen in the Hato. The Hato is, how do you explain it? It's kind of like this, only maybe prettier, and a lot more ancient. And we would go there several times throughout the week to Chosen. Chosen is a formal tea with the abbot and the practitioners. And there were about 23 of us at any given time. And sometimes there was 30, 35 of us together because guests would come and move in and out. And some of us were instructed to read a chapter from this book. So usually there were three of us who would read. So you would be listening to the translation of the Shobo Genzo Zen Monkey in Japanese, German, French, Spanish, Portugal. I was like, that in itself is amazing. For those of you, I'm sorry, in my Americanization, I speak one language, English. But it was so beautiful to hear these other languages expressing the Buddha Dharma. And I didn't know what they were saying, but I picked up the tone. And it was almost like people were singing to me. It was amazing. So I'm sorry I'm going to read this in English. But if you know another language, you can translate. So Shobo Genzo Zimonki, book 1, chapter 20. And this is Dogen's lectures. Nowadays, almost all people, both lay and clerical, want to make it known to others when they do something good, and prevent others from noticing when they do something bad. That's me and some of you, and we're connected. Because of this, they lose correspondence between their inner and outer selves. You should aspire carefully to make the inside correspond with the outside. Repent of faults and hide your real virtue. Do not adorn your outward appearance. Offer good things to others and accept bad things yourself. When that was read, I was like, wow. Easier said than done. Oh, that's so cool. That's thunder. That is so beautiful. We are so connected. So come back. Okay. So where was I? Okay, so it's easier said than done to really integrate the inside of who we are experiencing, who we believe we are, and the outside, our presentation to ourselves and to all beings. That was so awesome. Oh, man. Dogen speaks in this passage, I feel, to most of us. I'm not going to say all because there's no absolute, so I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole. But I think he speaks to most of us, right? And is there anybody here that lives in a monastery? Just wondering. Awesome. So really, we're all lay, okay? We're all lay. That's beautiful. If anybody disagrees with me, feel free to have a discussion with me or a conversation after the talk. I'm open. I like conversations. So in this, it's the human condition to uphold what we believe to be good and to hide what we believe to be bad. This is the condition, the continuous teaching here, and was blown up for me at Tashoji. Nothing is hidden. The delusion of hiding what is transparent is suffering. This is not a justification for unwholesome behavior, and it's a potential for the pivot for goodness. There's something very powerful about recognizing, for me at Tashoji, my fallibility. I mean, just getting to Toshoji was a process, right? Landing or taking a plane from Minneapolis to Seattle, Seattle to Osaka, taking the train from Osaka, and some of you know this, unless you went to Tokyo, which is a 9-hour flight, which some of us, or 9-hour train ride, which some of us did. Me, I'm like, I had a good advisor. They said, you should go to Osaka. Psychologically, it's better because it's only 2 hours. I'm like, okay, that's doable. Yeah. And the energy that it takes, right, to try to cover up our humanity, it's amazing. And at the monastery, you're on. Whether you want to be or not, you're fully on. Because everybody else is transparent and vulnerable too. It's not just the self looking at the self. It's the self looking at itself individually, in the collective, with the other individuals looking at themselves individually and collective. We're all under the laser. It's mind-blowing. And simultaneously, it's freeing. How can that be? How can it be free to look at your crap? It is. It's free because nothing is hidden anyway. It's all out there. And to use it as compost, as energy, that's like, wow, that's transformation. That's living the Bodhisattva vow. In a cloistered environment, the mind has an opportunity for full view. The practice of hiding what is bad and bringing forward the pretense of what is good is a spiritual bypass. This bypass creates a schism within one's being, and it's poison. It's poison for the individual, it's poison for the collective. This can be clearly experienced when the mind is quiet over a period of time. Dogen says, you should aspire carefully to make the inside correspond with the outside. Repent of faults and hide your real virtue. The aspiration of doing good and serving all beings is our bodhisattva vow. Realizing when we have harmed and apologizing. I'm sorry, letting go and going forward. The skill of atonement and apologizing is liberation too. Not aggrandizing one's service and practice creates humility. The realization this practice of service is in connection with all beings, a collective response to the suffering world in which one is participating and offering one's presence. So when we respond to the world in our way, we're responding as a collective in relationship to all beings. And yeah, it's amazing. And it's not about responding in a way that's perfect, because I don't know what that means. It's responding with the conditions and my humanity as it exists in this moment. That's the best I can do. That's awesome. If we're all doing that, that's amazing. And in fact, that's what we're all doing to the best of our ability. Do not adorn your outward appearance. When filled with self, it's very difficult to respond to a deep place of stillness. The response when we're filled with ourselves, when I'm filled with myself, becomes about me, not the arising conditions, which are constantly fluid and changing. So cultivating this flexible mind, somebody said to me, why are you going to Japan? In fact, there were many people that said that. I'm like, oh, why am I going to Japan? Well, in this moment, I'm going to Japan because I have a lot of egocentricity. And I need to soften that egocentricity in order to have compassion for myself in all beings. I need to soften. And with this mind, the only way I can do that is to go away. To go away for 3 months. Because quite honestly, I can fake it. Not gonna lie. I can fake it for a week. I can gut it out for 3 weeks or a month. But I cannot gut it out for 3 months. There's just no way. That continually came to me. Are you going to gut this out? You're a week into the the practice period. Are you going to gut it out? I don't think so. I can't do it. It's crazy. It's insanity. So Dogen says, offering what is good to others and accepting bad things for yourself. This is very hard, especially with a mind that's filled with self. So this is a disconnect, because actually there is no other. And this is where this is the gap. This is the gap of our delusion of not being present, not being in relationship to each other. Because there is no other. One, we're constantly projecting ourselves onto each other. Two, we cannot live without each other. Even hermits need people. When we were in the monastery, we lived by people's generosity. The rice that we ate was donated. The vegetables we ate were donated. The salad we ate was donated. The tea we drank was donated. The water from the faucet that we turned on, a donor paid for that. The whole experience was one of generosity on behalf of an international sangha and on behalf of all beings. That's mind-blowing. Does that happen here at Clouds and Waters Zen Center? Okay, just wondering. When we offer what is good to the other, we offer what is good to ourselves. In the acceptance of bad things, one begins to pivot and transform in the conditions. So if the suffering is the possibility of transforming the energy in service for ourselves and for everyone, the schedule is the container to offer the possibility of investigating one's mind. I brought with me the schedule. The daily schedule. Getting up at 4 in the morning and going to bed by 9:10. Hosan, which is a personal day, was every 4 days. So it was on the fifth day. That is when we had a break in the afternoon, a 3-hour break, to wash our clothes and take care of our personal needs. The schedule is rigorous, and it needs to be that way, I found out. I don't know how it is for you, but in that in making a conscious decision to follow the schedule, I needed to relax my resistance. I needed to relax this mind and this mind's idea of what it should be and what it should look like. You want me to pull weeds? You want me to pull weeds in a parking lot? That feels a little crazy. Okay. It feels a little crazy, but you made an agreement to follow the schedule. Well, yeah, that's true. Okay. I'll go to the parking lot and pull weeds. I saw my mind. I'm like, this shit is real. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to swear. Well, it's not really swearing. Yeah, it is. We all gotta lighten up. I'm working on it too. But to see the mind and it's in full view and consciously making a decision. Now, am I gonna be like tossed away by this mind? Or am I going to pull it in and pivot and see what happens? Okay, it'll come up again. Okay, but I'm going to train. I'm going to pull it in, pivot, and do what's in front of me. And I'm going to constantly do that. And, you know, my experience was that you become fairly strong, and there's no you that becomes strong, but something becomes strong in you where you're not tossed away. And if you can be not tossed away, I mean, this may sound a little weird, if you can be non-tossed away at pulling weeds in a parking lot, or non-tossed away about sorting rice, brown rice from unpolished brown rice for hours, you can bring that skill into where you live, and people will, they won't know what it is, but they'll kind of perk up and wonder, have you been in the parking lot pulling weeds? No. Oh, it's funny, isn't it? The schedule is the container to offer the possibility of investigating one's mind and innumerable opportunities to follow and not follow the schedule, to notice resistance and from that space discern and decide a conscious action. Resistance cuts in 10,000 ways. It's like a hydra. You cut off one head, 1,000 arise. I notice my own resistance, how my own resistance supports ignorance and habit energy. Pulling weeds was an incredible practice for seeing the mind and its many expressions and how the expressions manifest in actions. This instrument impacts our relationship with ourselves and with all beings. It's intimately connected. At the monastery, we were fortunate to receive from Dzogchen Roshi's, his Dharma teachings. And he would speak both in Japanese and in English. And he would often do this during early morning Zazen. And we always felt blessed, no matter what language his teaching was in, we felt blessed. In early May, in an early morning zazen, he offered the following teaching. 10,000 dharmas continuously arise, present, and disappear. No self, Buddha, Buddha nature. Don't tell me, show me. I was like, oh man, that is so, I don't know if you can resonate with this, but that was a bomb in my head. Because up until then, I was like continuously moving back and forth. Resistance, non-resistance. I like this, I don't like this. This is crazy, this is not crazy. This is important, this is not important. I mean, constantly. And when Dojo Roshi said that, I was like, oh, that is liberation. Don't tell me. Show me. Show me no self. Show me Buddha Dharma. Show me Buddha. I'm like, holy smokes. How do I do that? You just do it. You just do it. We all can just do it. It's awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Okay, so Dogen says this in the Genjo Koan, right? To study the Buddha way is to study the self. To study the self is to forget the self. To forget the self is to be verified by all beings. To be verified by all beings is to let the body and mind of self and the body and mind of others drop off. There is a trace of realization that cannot be grasped. We endlessly express this ungraspable trace of realization. It's true. When there is no self, when one is just doing, just showing, that's realization. But we don't know it because we're not there. That's it. And yeah, it's it's great practice. It's great practice to need egocentricity, soften it, and let it go. If we have no embodied experience of dropping body and mind, we cannot resonate with that. That's like totally foreign. What does that mean, to drop body and mind? Every time we relax our selfing, our egocentricity, that is dropping body and mind. So every time you have stepped forward on behalf of somebody, somebody you didn't know, somebody you did know, somebody you loved, that's dropping body and mind. When you're sitting in zazen or you're sitting in meditation and you're just watching the mind, the arising, the presenting, the disappearing of thoughts, that's dropping body and mind. So this letting go of egocentricity is the beginning of the skill of developing this dropping of body and mind. Every time we say no to selfing and employ the self on behalf of all beings in the world, this is dropping our ideas and preferences. This is developing a deep connection with something larger than our constructed self. This is the showing, the acting of no selfing. I'm just wondering. I want to leave time for questions.
So, Jeannie, we end the, or Andrea, we end a little bit earlier since we're now doing announcements.
Okay. So, what time do we end?
10:20.
Okay. Okay, so what I'd like to do, because we started late because of compassionate practice, what I'd like to do is end, and I'd like to give people a couple minutes just to ask any questions, a couple of questions. Is that okay? I do want to invite people, though, to consider going to Shoji. As Zen priests, as lay practitioners, as guests, it's doable. And we can figure out a way. So with that, I would like to just offer, if there's anything, any questions that people have, we've been given permission to take a couple questions. You're so quiet. Yes.
I'm curious if this work has given you any insight into the activism that you do.
Oh, yes. Yes, it has. Because what happens is, because of developing being less filled with myself, and also stepping forward in a place where there were times when I was like, I cannot do this. I cannot. It's too big. It's too great. And I step forward anyway. And I think that stepping forward supports stepping forward in relationship to activism, in relationship to the Bodhisattva vow. Yes, so thank you. Yes?
I was just thinking when you were talking about the inside matching the outside, and but then we're hiding our virtue. Like, isn't our virtue part of our inside?
Yes, the thing about virtue is virtue will radiate out. It doesn't need to be adorned. It will, okay, because it's there, right?
It'll show.
Yes, yes. And if you can think of people who are very humble in their activity, and yet they're doing incredible work on behalf of all being, but they're not flashy. They're not like telling people what they're doing. They're just doing it. I just invite you. I thank you for your attention. And if you have questions or comments, more conversation, I'll be available. And thank you. Thank you for your time and your attention and energy.